Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Kim.
And I'm Penn. We are the Holderness family. You might recognize us from our cheesy, corny music videos on Facebook and YouTube.
This is a podcast. This is very us. Actually, did you just fart?
No.
Okay. This is very authentically us.
As you can tell. These are a little bit longer than our videos. They're meant to make you laugh just like our videos, but also make you think a little bit.
We would love it if you could subscribe to our podcast. If you're listening on Apple, iTunes, there's a purple subscribe button. It just that way automatically goes to you. But also it helps people find us. You could leave us a review. We love it. We read them all. And also we have a Holderness Family Podcast secret group. It's not a secret because I'm telling you. It's on Facebook. But we talk about the podcast. We get tips and suggestions. It's just very cool to small little group and we love it. But before we get to the podcast, a couple things.
Oh yeah, I know what you're going to. It's very exciting.
Very exciting time for us, limited time for like another 9 days. By the time you're listening to this, we have Watch Me Sip My Chardonnay t-shirts available for a very limited time.
Now watch me sip my Chardonnay. Watch me sip my Chardonnay. Cause I've been cooking since 4:30. Now watch me sip my Chardonnay.
If you can go to the description of this podcast, the show notes, the link will be in there. Or you can go to our Facebook page. There's a shop button in the right there.
You get them in time for Thanksgiving. That's right when the video came out. Yeah.
Right. Get them in time for Thanksgiving. So they're available for a very limited time. Awesome gift is all I'm saying. Good Christmas gift.
We're about to bring on our bestie. Yes. Julie Fromm, who's in town from New York, and we're going to have like a good, frank, fun conversation about how married people and single people should interact, communicate, and help each other out, because sometimes there's some pitfalls with that.
And think about it, this is kind of a downer. The divorce rate's 50%, right? You probably know a lot of single people, and if you are married, communicating with your single friends, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about the annoying things we do as married people to our poor single friends.
That's right.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry in advance.
It's okay. I did just fart just now. Let's start the song.
Kim's best friend is here today. Her name is Julie. She lives in New York in a studio flat. She doesn't like it when I make fun of her cat. Cause she has feelings too. And she's gonna share.
That was a super appropriate song.
More than usual?
It was very appropriate.
Okay.
I need to watch my words very carefully because I don't want to offend anybody.
And you know, that's kind of what today is about. We're going to get to that in a second. Let's start with this. Just so you know, hi, I'm Penn.
That's Kim.
Max is our producer. Say hi, Max.
Hello.
Just to let you know what's going on in our lives right now, I have shaven my head into a mohawk form.
Faux hawk.
And I'm a little insecure about it still. It's been one day, and I've had a drastic haircut. And Kim smells like catnip.
Okay.
That's what our day is like today. I just
feel
like we
should mention
that.
We are doing a video that'll go out soon. I'm testing natural deodorants. The one I'm wearing today does smell a little like catnip.
So
we are in rare form
today.
We're
in rare form. And what's more, the reason I shaved my head is because I have this play that I'm doing. It will have been finished by the time this podcast happens. But because of it, we have a lot of our loved ones in town, mm-hmm. particularly our best friend, our most important, and I'm saying this in the most endearing way, our favorite third wheel. And when I say third wheel, I say it in the nicest way possible. It's our friend Julie Fromm.
Welcome, Julie.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm already having so much fun.
Can't we change the tone of Third Wheel and have it be like, because I get really excited when Julie's here.
Yeah, so Julie, we met when we lived in New York City. She was Penn's boss.
That's correct.
Yes. And Penn, I didn't have any friends when we moved to New York City. And he said, there's this lady I work with.
Did I call you a lady?
You actually called me.
And,
well, you were my boss. I didn't want to say there's this dame.
He said, 1920s.
She's from Kalamazoo. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah.
And so he set us up on a girl date. And we went out and fell in love. And so Penn and Julie became good friends. Julie and I became good friends. So it just so happened that the three of us became the bestest of friends, which is great.
This is the Julie that you threw on the ground
yes.
when you didn't do wrong by your wife.
Yes. And the video, that's right. When we did this video, I didn't screw up. And then Julie came into town and then.
And you're like, guess what?
Yeah.
I need to drop you on the ground.
So that if you want a visual, I'll put a link in the description. And at the end of that video, he just continues to drop somebody, and that's Julie.
She walks with a limp now.
Yeah. Yes. And, but it's okay. Anything
still
for the
recovering.
Video. Yeah. So today we thought we'd have Julie in to pick her brain a little bit. Julie is delightfully single in her mid-40s.
That's actually my LinkedIn page, Julie Fromm, delightfully single.
And we thought it'd be great to talk about how to support, as married people, how to support your single friends in a non-creepy way.
Right, and to support, we mean how to engage with them. Like, we wanted to have an honest conversation because Julie, and we talk very honestly about things, and she's like, you know what, sometimes being a single person, while wonderful, people make these crazy assumptions about it, particularly married people. And I'm sure there's been, like, you've been to a baby shower where someone's been like, oh my gosh, you've never felt true happiness until you had a child.
Baby.
And you just want to stab them in the face with, like, whatever
a
fork
pacifier.
Is nearby.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the silver Tiffany rattle is going into
like
their
jabbing.
Head.
So, by the way, I look at the single people at baby showers and I'm like, oh my gosh, you look so rested. Your skin looks amazing.
You're glowing without
You're glowing.
Being pregnant.
I know.
How
you,
does that happen?
You just slept for 12 hours. Okay, so let's back it up. So Julie lives in New York City, where being in your 40s and single is not a rare thing.
No, we're not unicorns up there. There's a lot of us, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, but we live in the suburbs of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Where there are a lot of baby showers.
Well, it's not. I have to say, here's what I was talking to Julie about is there are plenty of single people here. Yeah. I'm engaged in very married with children activities here.
Right.
So I'm not as engaged with my single friends, but that's what we're going to get to. It's like how to engage. So tell me, you have some tips here, but what would you say the most annoying thing that married people do?
And we're in the trust tree here. No one's going to hear this but us. It's just us.
Like, what is the most annoying thing that we do?
Oh, you're constantly trying to set us up. You're like, are you okay? You okay? Wait, which – can we go on Bumble? Can we go on Tinder? Oh, what about this guy? What about that guy?
Well,
I think there's like a janitor in my work that might be single.
So why – you don't want to be set up?
Well, I think – no, that's not true. I mean, if Clooney comes around, set me up. I think that the mistake is there's an assumption that we don't want to be single, that we want to be in a relationship at all times, that it's an affliction not to be in a relationship. And I think friends, especially dear friends who are empaths and they want just to help you and help you and help you and help you, assume that they're helping you by trying to set you up or encouraging you to get it. I mean, how many times have you,
all
Kim...
Sorry.
Wait, are you back online? Are you back online yet?
Well, okay, so here, okay, here. We're just going to air.
This is good. I'm just going to listen because this is good.
Okay, because.
This is good.
Because.
I'm getting a front row seat
Julie,
to this.
After a few cocktails, has in the past said things that make me feel like you would like to date people.
I also say I want to live on Mars after a few cocktails. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. No, you're right.
No,
I
and
mean,
so that's why I'm like, okay. And so I'm a very action plan person. So my action plan is let's get your profile up. Let's do this. Let me support you. But you're saying that's kind of annoying.
There's part of me that thinks you actually have like a profile out there for me that you're swiping left and right.
I am. I found a great guy for you.
I think this is nuanced. I'm going to jump in and say I think that I do believe that single people – some of them would like to find someone who is a soulmate. They'd like to find happiness. And some of them would love the assistance of their friends to do this. So so what we got to figure out is how to tap dance this properly so we are not assuming anything, number one. Not getting up in your business when you don't want us to be up in your business. And because I am naming things in threes, the third one I can't think of.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Look, I'm not saying that this is forever in terms of I don't want to find a soulmate. Of course I do. And I'm not saying that's for everybody. Like, there are probably people out there who are like, I want to be single. I want to live a very fulfilled life on my own. It's just I do better that way. I'm saying that in this space right now, I'm happier on my own. Like, great. I'm living my best life that I can on my own. Doesn't mean that someday I won't come crawling to you saying, please help me. And it's actually, I'm getting there. Like, I'm getting there.
Okay,
and
so maybe this is a communication thing, right? Like, if you want help, you're going to ask for it.
Correct.
Okay.
Like, don't badger me about it.
Yeah.
Jump at it. Because I feel like, and I know I've said this to you, I like end up putting time late. I'm like, okay, May. I'll get back online in May. And then May comes and I just didn't feel like it. And I keep pushing it back, but I just sort of feel like I need to relax and decide, like, when I'm ready, I'll do it.
Do you feel like, because I've known you for a long time now, do you feel like you're going, again, the answer can be, Kim, shove it, but do you feel like you're going to be ready?
Here comes the therapy. I do, and I feel like I'm getting a lot closer to it. I do. I think that, I had three very long-term serious relationships in my late 20s all the way through my 30s and into my early 40s, and they all failed. And I think that – and they were all good men, and there were a lot of wonderful
were
things.
They? I'm kidding. I picked your side. So anyway, whatever. They were dogs. Okay.
After the last one ended, I just sort of got a little gun-shy, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a step back and not try so hard to find that partner and find that soulmate and just sort of be for a while. And then that felt really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, well, believe me, there was a time where it felt horrible,
right,
healing.
Course.
But then when I sort of healed from all of it, it just felt good. And so now I sort of got into the space where – feeling good about where I was and what I was doing and who my friends were and all the travel. I mean, we travel, I have soulmates. I have a lot of them. I have all my girls that I like to, we run in packs basically.
Okay.
And so I don't know.
So rule number one, don't assume your single friend wants to be set up.
That's a good one. Okay. I like the idea that we're going to list this. So rule number one on how to support your single friends, number one, do not assume that they want to be set up. Because if you assume, in this case, it actually just makes a ASS just out of us, not you and me. It's just that we just cut that short. We're the ones who are the donkeys. So, okay. That's fair. All right. We've got more rules, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
By the way, I forgot to preface this whole conversation with the fact that you two have been the most generous. And, like, you guys, aside from Kim trying to swipe my Tinder, like, every 5 minutes.
Oh, my God, that's so fun.
It is fun. I got to tell you, like, married people kind of get off on this.
I know. And it's like, kind of why I got off Tinder. Yeah. Because Kim kept, like, I'm like, oh.
It's our only excuse to look at Tinder.
Like, George, yes, I'll go out with you because Kim swiped right for me at, like, 2 in the morning.
I don't know the rules of left or
right. Well, you're just looking at his arms and then you have to, like, look it up and he's, like, going through clown college or something. And, it, like, you didn't see that part about it. Not that, like, look, clown college is great. If we have any, if we have any clown students listening in, I apologize for that note. All right.
Okay.
We can't offend anybody.
Or everybody. Or we
yeah,
can
or
offend,
everybody. Just or go we for can the whole thing.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's rule number two?
Well, these are in no particular order of importance, but one that gets to me a little bit is don't exclude us from events just because we don't have children. I don't get invited to a lot of my dear friends' kids' birthday parties because they feel like they're doing me a favor.
Do they say that to you? Do they say, like, oh, we didn't want you?
Okay. So I brought it up with one of my friends once, and she was really surprised. I said, you know, everybody was there except for me because I was the only one part of this friend group that didn't have children, and so...
So it's in theory, it's a birthday party where parents are also attending.
Correct.
Okay. So the birthday parties we throw are, like, at... Like Penn Charles wants to go to this Ninja Warrior place, and it's a gift.
It's terrible.
No, the Ninja Warrior place is great.
The Warrior place is great, but the situation, you got a bunch of second grade, third grade kids.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about those parties. I'm talking about the kids' parties that the parents, the adults are part of the party.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
So we have to preface that because usually our parties are drop-off parties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to come to those too.
No, it's like not even the parents of the kids that are going want to go to those. I don't even want to go to it.
Julie, I think you have to buy in for all of them. If you're going to make this statement, I think you have to go to the drop-in parties.
December 8th, I need you to fly in. Okay, so that I could see as the host of that party, I'm doing Julie a huge favor. She does not have to deal with screaming 8-year-olds and doesn't have to, like, go through the motions of getting here. But I can see how that would be offensive, like, to not be included.
Look, you know how great my relationship is with your kids.
Right.
I mean, I have sort of developed my own relationship with them.
Right.
And so... If you didn't invite me to one of their birthday parties, it would sort of feel bad. You know what I mean? I mean, in like prefacing it again with adults are there too.
Our parents get ticked off if you're not invited to things. So you're set with us. But I think I figured out how to – I'm going to be the king of nuance over here. I think I figured out what you're saying. You're saying invite us to your kids' events as long as it's not – a drop-off event, and I have to take care of someone else's kids because I don't love those kids as much as I love your kids.
Don't make us the babysitter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yes. So, by the way, Max has two small kids. Would you go to – like that – I would think it's a favor to not be invited to another kid's birthday party.
I'm going to William's birthday party tomorrow.
So are we. Well, we're having a babysitter drop him off.
I'm a very busy person.
Do you want me to pick him up and take him?
And we have another friend
probably.
Going too.
We'll get to that later.
But But I literally have hired a babysitter.
I'm more expensive than that babysitter.
So that you are more expensive.
We know your hourly rate, and it is more than our babysitter's hourly rate.
That is really funny. Yeah, that's how little I love William and I love William's family.
I just, because the listeners of the show kind of love that there's this great little community that's happening.
Yeah.
So our day tomorrow is William's birthday party with, you know, all of our kids there. And then we get to drop them off. And Megan and Jason Gilligan of Weddings for Real, previous guest of the show, we all bought tickets to go see Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yay!
It's just a step to the left.
I know.
Jump to the left.
Oh, it's just
Max.
A jump to the left.
Good grief, man.
Max, you got to get your choreography straight.
Well, a week ago, he knew a lot more about this than I did. And I think the immersion has helped out. So. So invite us to your events as long as they're not the drop-off events where I have to take care of someone else's kid. I think that's totally fair.
And be the creepy single woman
does
there.
That,
who's
does
shouting that, at someone.
Who's shouting at somebody's kid that she doesn't know.
Which will always happen at a trampoline park.
Well,
how about just avoid don't invite single people to trampoline parks ever.
Yeah.
Really?
You don't want to go.
That's terrible.
I kind of want to go.
No,
okay, fine.
I jumped in at a birthday party of a friend's kid, and I went, oh my gosh, if they're listening.
We're going there?
I parented the crap out of some strangers' kids because they were in the dodgeball little area of the trampoline park, and they were hitting the tiny kids in the face.
It's super dangerous.
And I went out there, and I like grabbed a kid by a shirt. I mean, I really should be in jail right now. And I was like, you cannot do that. yes. And I was like.
No, I saw it. I saw it from like 50 yards away. And from that far away, it still looked really rough.
I grew he was taking, there's like a 9-year-old kid and he was hitting like a 4-year-old kid in the face with a dodgeball, like close range. I didn't know either of these kids. And I went in and I was like, march, 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 march. I was like, you cannot do that. And I was like, Penn, we might be getting kicked out real soon. Let's run. Funny. Sorry.
Great. Okay, so we've got two rules, and I'm feeling good about them. Both have required a little bit of nuance.
Okay.
Well, I have a little bit. I have like rule 2A.
Okay, rule 2A.
So if you do invite us to not only to your event, don't stick us at the singles table.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's generally speaking a marriage
or whatever, a 40th birthday party, a
bar
whatever
mitzvah situation.
Yes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Like you're next to like crabby Uncle Joe and like racist Aunt Lou.
Right.
And Julie and with her gin and tonics.
Don't forget Goth Jed. Like, Goth Jed will definitely be next to you. Like, because what they'll do is when they do that, that actually goes back
to
rule one.
Maybe Jed and Julie.
They try to set you up with Goth Jed.
Or I don't know, racist Aunt Lou might be a. I don't know.
And
this
Julie's
point.
Julie's like, yeah, what do you do for a living? And he's like, this whole place is a womb to me. Like, and yeah, he's just. Yeah.
Sounds like my dream guy.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
So that being said, funny anecdote. We went very early. I think I was pregnant with Lola. Or maybe not even pregnant with Lola. We went to spend Christmas with your family.
You were pregnant. Well, if you weren't pregnant, you were thrown up the whole time.
No, you had a stomach virus.
Food poisoning. Yeah. And your mom was like, and this is like 12 years ago.
Please let me do Gail.
Yeah, let people.
By the way, I love Gail Fromm as I love my own mother.
Anyway. All right. Gail and Bob, Joel popped in, the Fromm family. It is something out of a Rob Reiner movie, this family in Connecticut, because it's this beautiful kind of snowy area and everyone's kind of got their foibles. And we've just met Gail, and Gail's like, you know what? This calls for a special occasion. I'm going to get a bottle of Dam. And I was like, Dam?
What's Dam?
Honey, Bab, get the Dam! And we're like, okay.
Dam.
So, Bob comes out with a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Oh, Dom.
That he'd been saving.
Battle of Dam. And I was like, oh, man. Like, first of all, thank you, Gail. I think they've been saving it
for 25 years.
They
pulled
it
out
for
you two clowns.
Yeah. And, of course, Kim immediately threw it up because she had a stomach virus. But mine stayed down, and it was tasty. I don't think I'd ever had Dom Perignon before that.
I still haven't. Yeah.
Right? You had for a second.
Anyway, it ended up being truth serum for Julie's mother because we had.
She doesn't drink that much.
No, she doesn't drink much. And we were in the middle of a conversation. It was almost a non sequitur. We were talking about something a little bit different, about just like, it's been really nice, like meeting Julie. And, you know, she was a great boss. She's an even better friend. And Gail just jumps out with, you know, at this point, I think I'd be okay if she was just a lesbian.
I just want her to be happy.
I just want her to be happy.
And so it took us a while to catch up. Oh, she's saying she wants Julie to find someone.
Oh, I know.
Which is from a very good place, but the way it came out was just
hilarious.
Movie script quality.
Well, Penn, you forgot the punchline, though. Like, you raise your hand. I'm like, oh, no. She's hooked up with a couple of my friends. She's no lesbian.
Yeah. I did. I said, Gail, I can
vouch.
Yeah,
I can vouch.
She had, and still does, and that's okay. And I'm fine
just
with
going
that.
Sideways.
I
right.
know this
they
is a family show.
They
okay.
always
we do.
Do
not set her up. She just finds her way into.
These weren't the handsome groomsmen that Kim has mentioned like
same,
many
same.
Times.
Same.
I just want to let everyone
God.
Know that the groomsmen are very attractive.
Yes, same.
Same
group.
Same.
So they got our wedding
I'm
planner.
I'm discerning when it comes to my friends, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So same. Okay.
Moving on.
I love Gail Fam. She's from the Midwest, which is why she sounds.
Yeah, that's why she sounds like she's Canadian.
Damn.
Okay. Speaking of anecdotes, the one thing that we were talking about before we started recording this is, you know, I was talking to one of my other single friends in New York, and she said, you know, what did she say? Sorry.
Julie has notes. She's consulting.
I am.
Notes.
Sorry. We're not circus acts. Like, don't treat us like a circus act, you know, in terms of, oh my God, what did you do this weekend? Did you stay up 24 hours straight and watch?
Because we so want to be that. We so want that.
What rave did you go to this weekend? You know, we're just normal people too.
But we like to live vicariously through you guys.
Okay. So going
situations.
Through your Tinder account, I should not do that. But can we do that right now, though? Please, can we do that right now?
Are you on Tinder?
I am not. Are you not
on eHarmony?
I'm not on anything right
now.
Are
you on Grindr?
I'm.
Are you on?
Yes.
Okay. No. Are you like?
Why do you know
them?
There are so many.
Okay.
There are so many.
And
but
do you need
on
to be online to meet somebody? Is that the general feel nowadays?
I think it really depends on what area of the country you live in. Like in New York, you would think it would be so easy to meet somebody, and I'm not just speaking for single women in their 40s. But everybody says about how hard it is to meet somebody. And so everybody's online. And this I didn't know. Learned this from a young male friend of mine. Instagram is like a huge dating tool.
Really?
Oh, just because they take a picture
like go
and you
on
DM
and
them?
Yeah, and then they start. There's like a whole method. It's kind of crazy.
We could sign you up
on Tinder right now. I've got the app opened up.
Oh, good God, no.
Yeah,
I think it would just be reactivating an existing account.
Yeah, let's please. I'm not giving you my password. Yeah. No way, no how. Single is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, my God.
That's their slogan?
It's interesting, though, Julie, because there is... Obviously, there is a stigma, or used to be a stigma, about the whole online thing.
Did you say stigma?
No, I said stigma.
Yeah, but it sounded like you said Stigna.
The second time.
Yeah.
Stigna is an insurance company.
I know.
No, it's not.
Cigna.
It's Cigna. Is,
I'm joking.
We're all wrong.
Okay.
Stigna. When you talk to people now, and we live in the South, the answer used to always be, where'd you meet him? I met him at church.
Right.
Or I met him at the gym. Or I met him at my job. I hear I met them online probably half of the time now, because I think it's actually the way they figured it out.
The stigma's gone.
Yeah, it's better. We have so many happy friends that we know who met online and got married.
100%. That's not why I'm not online. I'm not online because I just don't feel like it right now. Because it's work, man. It is work to sift through. It's work to swipe right.
You had me till it's work.
It is.
Is it really?
Yes.
Like because you have to respond and...
You have to communicate and you have to... And there's just...
I have a friend here who I'm not trying to set her up. I'm following all the rules.
Her name rhymes with Schmatherin.
Yes. And she... Yeah. It's hilarious. She sends me the text message, like screenshots of the replies she gets from guys. And I think just because she's in a dating pool that's maybe just the age bracket under 40, I think she's like in her 30s, so it's like 35-year-old, and it the conversation's like, hey, okay, and how are you, blah blah blah, I like, and then they'll like, it gets graphic very quickly. And it is always shocking to me that and so it's
do you know what's happening right now? We're like getting off on this again. We're like enjoying all of these, and I think that's why we need Julie to smack us down a little bit here.
No,
we're kind of doing the gawking thing again. Act thing a little bit aren't we?
Yeah, but I mean, just you're aware of it though, you know. Now we're just chatting.
Yeah,
we're just chatting about all the little things.
Okay, what's next? What's another terrible thing we do to you?
Another terrible thing. This one I think is important, and this one, I love that you're using the word nuanced a lot. This one's nuanced too.
Yeah.
But my time as a single woman, not having children, is just as valuable as your time.
Of course.
Even though you have, I've seen your calendar. That thing is insane. That gives me like agita. I can't.
I feel like you have to be 65 to have agita, but continue.
What's agita?
I don't even know what agita
like,
is.
The guys over here don't know what agita is.
Did I use that word right?
I don't know, but I feel like my...
Is it like the Latin root of agitate?
Yeah, like agitation.
It feels... Okay, yeah.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Let's
put
it that
way.
Okay,
it's full. It's
That's
anxiety.
That's what Dale would say.
Right.
With a damn.
The heebie-jeebies.
Anxiety, stress, or aggravation. Agita.
See? Agita. Yeah, you
I'm
did
smart
it right.
Sometimes.
Yes. So give me an example, and I won't be offended, of a time that maybe I or somebody have said, oh, Julie's single, she can do it, or something like that.
You really haven't done that to me. Yet.
Yeah. Give me time.
How about
give me time. You're like, go find my wedding ring. Can we tell that story?
We gotta tell that story.
Oh gosh. Okay, go
it's
for
a
it.
Perfect example.
You have your mouth full right now. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that this... wasn't because I was single, but it's just a penism.
Yeah. Max brought some swordfish ceviche up here, and it is on time. But, okay, this is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Julie, how did we meet?
We met at the 2005 Little League World Series when we were both working for ABC Sports.
Mm-hmm. And I had just gotten married.
You had just gotten married to the lovely Kim. And his screensaver on his phone was you, like, lying in the prone position in your wedding dress. I was like, who is that porn star? So beautiful. Anyway, so he in typical Penn, like, comes in, like, the whirling dervish that he is running his hands through his hair, like Penn tends to do. And he's like, hi, who are you? I lost it. Can you go look for my wedding ring? And meanwhile, I'm his boss.
I did not know she was my boss. I had not met her yet. But yes, you're my boss. Go ahead.
Can you go look for my wedding ring? I was putting hair product. I was on the side of the road, and I was putting in hair product. I think I may have left it on the top of my car, and I can't find it. Oh, I feel like I'm doing a will right now, actually. Sorry.
I probably sounded like Babs a little bit. Go ahead. Yeah.
And can you go look for it? And I was like, who is this? Like, seriously? I don't know how you remember that story.
Exactly like that.
And then,
you're not sugarcoating it at all. I mean, I was a hot mess. I did not have time to introduce myself to anyone because I showed up late because the other sports reporter who was with me was 30 minutes late.
That's right.
And
I forgot about that.
Assumed that I would take her bags to the car for her.
So, there was a lot of fault going on.
I was upset about that. Anyway, I felt like I needed to explain my agita, and it was, but I assumed immediately, she's in an edit booth.
Right.
She's not married. She doesn't have anything better to do. Her time is not as valuable as mine. Maybe she'll help me find my wedding ring. So I think it's perfect.
I don't think you knew. I don't think you knew just by looking at me that I was not married. But
that's a good point.
But
sorry.
The bigger picture of all of this, I think a lot of these quote unquote rules come from assumption. You know, don't assume. Always ask.
Maybe she lost her wedding ring.
Maybe that's why she wasn't wearing one.
Yeah. At any rate, so after that, we became good friends. I think I was able to redeem myself on numerous occasions, including introducing you to Kim, which is the best thing I ever did.
Well, of course. And then I spent the summer on your couch.
Yeah, that whole summer.
We'll talk about that later.
But, yeah, it was good times.
But back to your time being valuable. I see the point in that. I think that people probably, married people, assume, well, she doesn't have to make dinner for the kids or pick them up from school or anything else. So I bet she could do blank.
Yeah, it's not even the... could she help out with this or could she help out with that? It's like, okay, you guys have – here's your window of free time. So you're just going to assume that
– you're available.
I'm available. And if I'm not
– it's annoying.
People have gotten annoyed with that. And that's annoying to me. Yeah. It's only happened a few times. But I think in general, just as a general rule, like know that even though – I mean, I may have – I need to binge 12 hours of Game of Thrones. So, you know, don't bother me.
See, this is
Wake
when
me
I
up
get,
on Tuesday.
I know. I get so jealous. I'm like, tell me about your weekend. I had 4 birthday parties and 12 soccer games. What'd you do?
Me and my cat watched all the Game of Thrones episodes.
All of it. Yeah. Oh, that's another one. Don't make fun of me and my cat. Damn it.
Okay. All right.
Seriously.
It's You're rolling up to whenever... me about your cat. Your cat has an Instagram account.
It does, although I haven't posted to it in a long time.
No,
a Tinder account.
No, I heard.
And a Tinder account. My cat has a Tinder.
Okay, I have made fun of your cat in the past. So let's talk about that. I'm not a cat person. I'm allergic to cats.
I'm not a cat person either. I got this cat on a whim, and now I have this cat.
And you have called this cat dating kryptonite.
She is dating kryptonite. I mean,
okay, so here's
she
the,
is.
Right, here's the rule. Ready? I like this rule.
Yeah.
I may make fun of my cat. You may not make fun of my cat. It's like family, right?
Like,
it's
like Penn that can't make fun of my family, but I can make
fun of it. Yeah, yeah, she's total dating kryptonite. I mean, I will fully admit that if I meet a guy and he says he has a cat, I'm like, nope, done.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, but you have a cat.
Well, but I'm a dog person. I am a dog person.
But what if he's a dog person and just wanted companionship?
Careful, honey, don't make fun of the cat.
No. I just...
So she's like...
I know.
Catist.
How many...
She's a huge hypocrite. I know. We're just going to see how she gets out of this.
I'm not going to. And you're probably going to need to edit this out so you don't offend all your male cat-owning listeners.
By the way, on this
sorry,
podcast...
Sorry, Larry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That one guy.
Yeah. Anytime someone says edit this out, it's going on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's always the best stuff.
It just feels odd to me for men to have cats. I don't know why. Single men.
You have a cat.
But single men.
I've had two cats, but yeah, they were given to me.
Right. Actively going out and seeking out cats.
So, a poll for our podcast listeners. Is Julie a catist?
I'm totally a catist.
You're totally a catist.
Or is it okay for single men to own cats?
I think so.
Well, of course it is. We're going to get calls from like the ASPCA.
Oh my God.
And PETA. I know. And everybody else.
I also think, like, if I may, if you meet the one, you're not going to care that he has a cat. The cat's an excuse.
You know what's going to happen? She's going to meet the one.
And vice versa.
And she's going to call me and say, he's great. He's got a job. He does not currently have a wife. So that's bonus. Because that's happened. That we found out a little later. And she's going to say, he's great. And I'm going to say, but what? And she's going to say, he has a cat. And then
hey, but the age of the cat could help, because if it's like 15,
now we're trying to kill cats. Yeah.
Now you're killing cats. Now you're killing cats.
No, my honest to God, this is so true. Laia, one of my dearest friends, I was on my way home from work one day, and there was this van in front of this pet store.
ASPCA
was there, and this cat, and she was so sweet, and I was like, I'm taking the cat. And I got home, and Laia's like, what the F did you just do? You just killed your dating life. You got a cat. And she's to this day, I've had the cat for what, like 8 years? She's like, I can't believe you have a cat.
There's a study by this Scottish Edinburgh University that says that if house cats were our size or like the size of like a lion's, they would try to kill us.
I fully believe that. Yeah. I have to say,
everyone, like every cat owner just nods their heads like, oh yeah, cats hate us.
I have to say though.
My cat's a pain in the butt. Like,
really?
Really?
So is mine. Are all cats
our dogs
in the
are
butt?
Pain in the butt. So I think animals.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
When she's hungry, she is relentless, and she will meow until food is presented to her. But like, not just, hey, I'm hungry. Oh, I see you working on getting me food. That's fine. I'll be calm. No, it's, now I'm really hungry. When are you going to serve it? I need it right now. And it just goes. Never stops until presented.
Our kid's going to do that.
Julie, I don't think the cat's going to matter if it's the right guy.
No, you're probably right.
I'm throwing that out there.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I'd rather have cat than a married person. So,
anyway. Or a serial killer.
I don't know.
Well, if he's hot, you know. Okay. I mean, are we talking Ted Bundy Charles Manson?
Now we're going to get calls.
Sorry.
Wait, which one was hotter?
Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy was... He was
Ted Bundy was hot.
He was very attractive.
Podcast has gone sideways.
So that's how he got.
I need to look up pictures
himself.
Of him.
He was very
coming
attractive.
Right at you.
That was part of his deal. He was charming.
Very charming.
Oh man.
Let's... they all are. All the serial killers are very charming.
Charles Manson, charming.
All right.
Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Ted Bundy's handsome.
Kind of a handsome guy.
Yep.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on
this is
from the serial killer.
Julie's dating pool.
All right, so we've got some good rules.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have to say, just in general, sort of backing up, I really never thought I would be here, obviously, but it is fun. It's fun to be self-deprecating. It's fun to talk about, you know, and it's fun. And then it's really fun when one of us.
When
one of us. We're like the aliens, gets married off and goes to like the pod people. I just was at a wedding this past weekend in Jamaica, and one of our dear friends, you guys couldn't make it unfortunately, but one of our dearest friends, Andy, got married, and she's 41.
Right.
And she comes the day before the wedding, she comes out and she's like, you're not going to believe this. I just signed my marriage certificate, and her lovely, lovely husband who she just married is divorced.
Yeah.
And, so you have to, on this Jamaican marriage license, write – there's something called condition.
Right.
So under Gary's –
Widowed, married, divorced.
Single, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
So Gary divorced. Andy's spinster.
Stop.
There's a box to check for spinster.
What is the qualification for spinster?
Never been married, and I don't know – and
there's an age
limit. But let's – so I went to – we laughed obviously so hard over our rum daiquiris.
I was going to say. Christ,
but then, so I looked up spinster on the Oxford American English Dictionary, and this is what it says. It defines spinster as an unmarried woman, typically an older woman beyond the usual age for marriage. If someone is a spinster, by implication, she is not eligible to marry. She has had her chance and been passed by.
That's in the dictionary.
That needs to be
like
removed.
That got signed off by someone, probably a dude. But it got like, that's crazy.
Well, let's talk about this. So
that should be a
typically,
shirt.
Oh, she's already printing them.
Like, I know.
With
I
your the Chardonnay shirt. Shirts, yeah.
Yes, which are available. Check the description. So, so normally, right, so we would be married very young. Right, because just in terms of a community, you need to kind of lock that down to make this commitment. And it was happening. I mean, my parents, although they're divorced now, got married when they were 19. My grandparents when they were 18.
Yeah, my mom was 19 as well.
Yeah, so historically that's happened very young, but we've also seen like crazy high divorce rates. So I think getting married later in life, you know, you make better decisions.
Yeah, I think, I mean, yes, I agree with that. And I would say the only regret I have about not having gotten married is that my mother, we love you, Gail Frum, but my mom really wanted to be a grandmother. And it's, I don't think, I mean, who knows? You never know. But I don't think it's in the cards because my brother's definitely not going to have kids.
So, but I mean, there's Lulu the cat.
Oh, yeah. So they laugh about it. They're like, we have grandcats. But honestly, that's the only thing. Like everything else, yeah, would it be nice to have somebody have your back when you're, you know, 60, 70, 80, whatever? Yeah, of course. But beyond
I've got
that.
Your back.
I know you do, sweets. I know you do,
I mean,
sweets.
I'm not going to wipe your butt, but.
When I'm 80, you better. Come on.
Is that really the reason why you guys marry us?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exclusively. Yeah.
It's high up on the list.
Elderly skilled nursing.
I need
is it that situation?
I need a butt wiper to be committed to that.
It's kind of a backloaded deal for you.
Pun
both
intended.
Literally and figuratively. I gotcha.
Yeah, but the guys usually take off before the girls.
I'm gonna
so.
Say, don't tell them that.
I know.
But you're probably right.
I know.
All right, so maybe the final rule is. Yes, we know what a spinster is. Maybe just don't call us that.
What else do you got? Anything else?
No, I think, I mean, like I said, I think the main thing is just don't assume that being single is an affliction.
Yeah.
Don't try to cure us. You
yeah.
know? I mean, I think that, and just sort of be sensitive to the fact that maybe we like being this way. And
yeah. But I have to say, I have a single friend here who... does not want to be single.
Oh no! When
yeah.
I ask,
yes.
you better be in fifth gear finding
right.
me a husband.
Yeah, and that being said, I heard
you guys are becoming needy.
I heard Katie Couric on a podcast, and Katie Couric's whose husband had passed away, and she had like a very long appropriate time of mourning for her beloved husband, who she still talks about. But then after a few years, it was like, you know what? I really enjoy being in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship. And so she was relentless in hounding her friends, and she talked about it with great pride, going
yeah.
up to her friends,
I love
going,
that.
I know, going. I need you to set me up. Who do you have? And in a way, like it was like one of those like salespeople. And they were like, oh, there's this guy named John. But then John hadn't immediately called her. And she's like, your friend John, he hasn't called me. And she like pestered until John called. They went on a date and now they're married.
That's amazing.
But I think that you have to kind of like do that.
So I'm going to Katie Couric you at some point.
And I want you to.
Oh, I know. Well, and I have to say one
I'm sorry,
thing.
What does it mean when you Katie Couric
well,
someone?
To be relentless.
To be relentless
yeah,
and like
yeah, yeah.
ask all of
oh,
your
I got
friends.
Oh, I got it. Okay. And, like, and by the way, like all of this is easily fixed by going back to like don't make assumptions. Let us communicate. Oh, like tell them what you want. We'll tell you what we want. And then it works. Like, leave me alone. I'm happy being single. Great. Message received.
Right.
Hey, I really could use some help here.
Right.
Done.
You know, one other thing that you talked about, Kim, and this actually makes a lot of sense. I think it's really cool. I mean, I don't know if we're unique in our friendship that the three of us are all, you know, super
yeah.
close. But if your single female friend wants to go out, don't assume it just has to be you. Like,
I know. And that's another thing is that I do have a couple single friends here, and I feel like it always has to be a girls' night. But really, I think...
Does it have to be?
Does it have to be?
I don't know. How do you feel about that, Pam?
I go back to what do you want?
Yeah.
Honestly, people go about their lives and make 20 decisions a day without communicating what it is that they want, and it ends up in a situation that's not ideal. You know, because and usually it also involves talking behind someone's back. Like, you know what I really want, instead of saying it to the person's
face.
Right,
right.
So, like, what do you want? Do you want to go out with just Kim? Hey, it feels like a girls' night. Do it. Do you want to go out with a bunch of people?
Totally.
Tell us.
Yeah, because I think you're good. Penn is a good third wheel.
Yeah, it's funny. I have become the third wheel in this relationship.
and the truth comes out.
You probably can tell. I'm kind of superfluous when it comes to this.
Stop.
And it's fine.
No, but you.
No, I like us because I have unique relationships with both of you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have separate relationships with both of you, which I really like.
Okay. Penn is eating this swordfish thing with the spoon that was meant to serve it on the cracker, and you're putting the spoon mm-hmm. back into the bowl, so there's like a triple contamination thing, yeah. And it's making my skin crawl.
Nobody else is eating it.
How do you know? Now I'm not.
Not right. anymore.
Don't assume.
Yeah.
Honey, if you're worried about like the germs in my mouth, why do we make out all the time?
Oh, gosh. Here we go. This is when I really do feel like a third wheel.
That music means we're wrapping up.
Time to go make out. If you made it to this point in the podcast, take a screenshot. Tag us on Instagram. We try to respond to all of them. And by we, I mean me, because Penn can't even really log in on Instagram.
I think that's a good idea, that I don't log into Instagram. I've been sent my... Or go to my Instagram page, which Kim lets me do. Double Chin Pinstagram, where there's horrible photos of
Penn, on Instagram, it's all pretty pictures. You need to take pretty pictures. And so what he did, he started an Instagram account with nothing but double chin photos. So you can go check that out. Thank you, Julie.
I've always wanted to do Hey, I'm a 45 Single Woman podcast. Yeah. Always.
And so where should people address their emails if they want to date you, but we can't send them to you because you don't want to date?
I would say send them to us.
And then we'll filter them, but only when
you're ready.
Wait, you completely, like, this was just one big
ad. I know! Mm-hmm.
You completely fooled me.
Go to the Facebook page, the Holderness Family Podcast Facebook page, and submit eligible bachelors that we can peruse.
And then send to Julie, which is the backwards of this entire
thing.
We
haven't learned
anything.
Literally
just became my worst nightmare. Literally.
So you don't want us to do this?
No.
What if it's...
Please
really,
don't.
Please don't. I'm just going to hold on to him.
You guys, you really have learned nothing.
We've learned nothing.
We have learned nothing.
But send them to me. Okay, guys, send them to me. Send them to me. And if you're... Okay, bye.
Just send them to Kim.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.